Hey, all. Let's take a look at Matthew chapter 9 again, and we're going to pick up in verse 14. Then the disciples of John came to him, saying, "Why do we and the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast?" And Jesus said to them, "Can the wedding guests mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? The days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast. No one puts a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, for the patch tears away from the garment, and a worse tear is made. Neither is new wine put into old wineskins. If it is, the skins burst, and the wine is spilled, and the skins are destroyed. But new wine is put into fresh wineskins, and so both are preserved." So here we have, after the Sermon on the Mount, the third in a sequence of three controversies. I remember the broader sequences of 10 miracles that probably are a kind of undoing of Israel's 10 rebellions in the wilderness. But at the same time here, we've had three controversies in a row that Jesus has had with different religious groups. So the first controversy had to do with where do you get off forgiving people? That was with one group. The next controversy was the company Jesus kept. Like, why are you hanging out with sinners and tax collectors? And then finally, we have this controversy about the question of fasting. And you might just lump them all together, again, as questions from the religious crowd, from religious circles. Maybe you could say different denominations or different churches, or just think of it in those terms. And basically, the overall message is, who are you to forgive? Where do you get off hanging out with the people you hang out with? And you definitely aren't dour and serious and ascetic enough. Now, there's a couple things to be said about this. Remember, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus has taught about fasting. He said, when you fast. So he assumed there would be fasting. But note, the emphasis on his fasting is the hiddenness of it, the privateness of it. In other words, not the doing it to be seen by others. And so then he also says, well, look, basically, they can't be fasting right now because there's a wedding party going on, and I'm the bridegroom, and I'm here to marry Israel, my people. I'm here to celebrate the coming fulfillment of that marriage. And so he says, you can't fast at a party. Now, remember, the image of a wedding feast, a lot of people spend a lot of money on wedding feasts today, but keep in mind a wedding feast at that time was like a week-long vacation with your best friends. It went on over the course of 7 days. It was lots of celebration, lots of food, and everybody was together for most of the time. So it's a really kind of a joyful, rambunctious, enjoyable time. And that's the image he uses for what's going on around him for the coming of the kingdom. He says the disciples will fast when the bridegroom is taken from them. I think this probably means, one, when he was crucified and buried before the resurrection. But I think it also means this time in which we do have the bridegroom by the Holy Spirit, but he hasn't come in his return, right? The one day to judge the living and the dead. So we're in this interim. And I think he's referring to that period of time. But overall, I think he's pushing back against the approaches of these various religious groups. They've got their agendas and their emphases wrong. They're putting the wrong emphases out there, and they're expecting conformity to their interpretations. And they're sort of policing people. And Jesus is like, no, when the kingdom comes, it's not going to be like that. It's not going to be about policing people's behavior. Something far more powerful is going on. So again, he uses these images of first the wedding feast and the bridegroom. I think probably there's an echo if on the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is a new Moses, and if coming down from the mountain, he's bringing blessing rather than judgment, then I think we should see in this an echo of Israel's adultery on Mount Sinai and God's forgiveness of it. This is Jesus coming down from the mountain and saying, I am going to redeem my bride. I'm going to bring her back. And then he uses the image of clothes and wine. I don't think this is accidental. I think it's probably connected to the image of the wedding and the image of a wedding feast. Wine and clothes were all associated with the temple, and the temple itself was a kind of a wedding booth for the people of Israel, the bride of God. And so I think these images here are all working with that image of marriage and celebration. So for weddings and in the temple, there's new clothes for a new time where God comes together with his people, new wine. Always in Scripture, wine and new wine in particular is a harvest moment. It's a celebration moment. I think in particular of Boaz when he is gathered in the wheat. He's had some new wine and he's laid down by this big pile of wheat. And it's at that moment that Ruth comes and they contract that marriage. So again, there's that image of celebration and a wedding and all of these things working together to describe what's going on in Jesus and his ministry. So if I were to try to sum up these three controversies and what, in part, they're telling us, I would say this. I would say the Old Testament and the Levitical system was good, but limited. And part of its job was to show the people of God in how many ways they were separated from God. They were separated from God through various aspects of death that manifest in their lives. They were separated from God through sin. There's all these graded separations from God that the Old Testament codes were supposed to teach the people of God about that separation. But I think Jesus is showing that with the coming of the kingdom, God's reversal of that, God's antidote to that, God's holiness does more than just bring judgment on sinners. It brings transformation to sinners. It brings forgiveness. So again, the sequence of forgiveness, of associating with people that he wouldn't otherwise associated with, and of celebration tells us that God's holiness, far from being limiting, is outgoing and transforming. And Jesus is inviting us and his disciples into that. God's holiness moves out in forgiveness, it moves out in inclusion, and it moves out in celebration. And fundamentally, I think this tells us that fasting is important. Fasting has always been, various disciplines have always been a part of the Christian life, but they are not the essence of the Christian life. Ultimately, Jesus wants to say the essence of the Christian life, the essence of the kingdom of God, the essence of God himself is joy, is celebration, is delight. And so fasting and discipline is important, but only in so much as it prepares us for and helps us anticipate the joy of the kingdom and the joy of celebration in the presence of God. So ultimately, Jesus is trying to say to the religious voices of his day, the kingdom of God is, you've got it fundamentally wrong. God's graciousness is far more generous than you've ever imagined. And life in the kingdom is one of festivity and enjoyment. And so may we learn to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness because it is the promised fulfillment of all human longing and because it is sharing in and participating with the joy of God as he moves out to redeem the world. Amen.